So much of the education around anxiety is being provided in this short form content. Biting into lemons, showering with oranges, plunging in ice baths, eating sour candy when panicking. If you rely on these hacks, you may never actually find a place of healing. Unless you address the deeper reasons as to why you're anxious in the first place, it doesn't really help you. Let me give you a little TikTok toolkit. Hey there, and welcome to the Anxiety Rx podcast. I am going to talk today about TikTok and why these little short snippets of help for anxiety are helpful on some levels, but not helpful on another. So if you've ever scrolled TikTok and thought, is this actually helpful? Is this actually going to help me? This episode's for you. Today, we're unpacking what TikTok gets beautifully right about anxiety and where it completely misses the mark. Because healing anxiety isn't about hacks and hashtags that just make you feel better in the short term, but completely fail to make you feel better in the long term. And they don't serve us because they don't treat the deeper reasons why you're anxious in the first place. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Yes, it will help you cope. It'll give you little strategies that help you cope. But unless you address the deeper reasons as to why you're anxious in the first place, it doesn't really help you. One of the analogies that I draw is that it kind of dangles you over the gates of hell. It gives you little snippets of relief, but nothing long term. So we're in a tough position as clinicians and therapists these days, because so much of the education around these big issues like anxiety is being provided in this short form content. And on one hand, it's really helpful, but on the other hand, having all this information at your fingertips makes it subject to a lot of misinformation and a lot of things that actually don't help you, and in fact, can even make you worse. So short form anxiety content promotes the idea that it can be healed. Anxiety can be healed with hacks and quick fixes. And I think this is a very harmful and dangerous narrative because it keeps people stuck in their pain when ultimately these hacks and quick fixes don't heal them, making them believe there's something inherently wrong with them or they're unfixable. So let's kind of dive into this TikTok thing. Trend number one, the anxiety song confessional. And what it is, it's, what is it? This trend uses viral TikTok audio anxiety. It's in my anxiety. You know the song. It's been played millions and billions of times already. And it samples somebody that I used to know. And creators overlay the sound of this song with clips of themselves looking vulnerable, crying, or sharing raw confessions about their anxiety. Sometimes it's lip-synced. Other times it's captioned with personal stories. Now, what this gets right is it destigmatizes anxiety by showing how prevalent anxiety is and opens up the conversation. It also creates emotional resonance and community. And because it comes in the form of a catchy song, it accesses the more unconscious feeling parts of our brain and our body. It also encourages honesty in mental health struggles. So those are good. But what it misses is the emotional expression without regulation can lead to emotional flooding, causing people to put more attention on their anxiety and got locked into it. And sharing pain online can become performative and re-traumatizing, kind of glorifying the victim state. And the victim state is such a huge part of anxiety in general. So when we portray ourselves as victims, we further lock ourselves in powerlessness and anxiety. So it's critical to note that we don't just heal by feeling. We heal by feeling and having support and context that moves us away from seeing ourselves as victims, because victim mentality plays a huge, huge role in how anxiety keeps moving us deeper and deeper into pain. So the second trend is dance challenges, anxiety dance challenges. And these are popularized by trends like I Get Overwhelmed and choreography and other dance snippets of an anxiety dance. Then creators act out anxious expressions or body language while dancing to emotional music. And often it includes captions like, when your anxiety hits out of nowhere. And what this gets right is, again, music accesses more emotional parts of our brains, and movement helps regulate the nervous system. Also, dancing creates an embodied release and social connection, and also breaks the program of immobility in that default mode network of the brain, because when we get anxious, we shut down, we go internal, and that causes us not to move very much. And when we don't move, this default mode network in our brain starts replaying all the inner critic stuff that we try to escape from, but we go into kind of naturally when we're frozen. So it's really important to be able to break out of that default state of being frozen. So humor and movement and play can also be a healing entry point by breaking this default mode and breaking this freeze state. Because again, this default mode that we fall into when we're anxiety paralyzes us. It makes us immobile. And in that immobile state, our brain just has its way with us. Our mind just starts creating all these warnings, what-ifs, worst-case scenarios. And it's a very unhealthy state to be in for any length of time. So this is one of the reasons I love Mel Robbins' stuff, which is 5-4-3-2-1 move. Like, just move. Get going. Because anything that breaks that freeze state will likely break you out of anxiety. Now, what these dance trends miss is, you know, without an explanation, doing a silly dance can feel like it's minimizing or mocking real suffering. So, and it also risks reducing anxiety to a little TikTok aesthetic, right? And it's bigger than that. It doesn't offer real tools for processing anxiety. And movement is great in the short term, but movement without meaningful reflection has only superficial results. So movement will break you out of that default mode. It will allow you to enter the place where you can actually make some real healing strides. But just the idea that moving is going to heal you is not going to work. But movement can be a great first step in taking the next steps to really focusing on what you're afraid of, facing it directly. And movement can be a wonderful adjunct to courage and faith, because we move with courage. And when we move, we start engaging that part of us that is not frozen in fear. Trend number three, it's just anxiety. Just reframing it. This is just anxiety. It minimizes it. It's not a big deal. It's usually short, often humorous clips where someone appears panicked or symptomatic and then cuts to them saying, it's just anxiety. Now, the goal of this is to reframe intense symptoms as non-life-threatening and reduce the fear around panic attacks. And on some level, what it gets right is it helps people reframe overwhelming sensations and see the lies that your mind tells you. Because when you're anxious, your mind tells you lies over and over and over and over again. And it also aligns with my alarm versus anxiety model. So the body feels fear, but there's not always real danger. And the mind makes up a story consistent with the body feeling this fear that's simply not true. And then the anxiety in the mind aggravates the alarm in the body, and the alarm in the body aggravates the anxiety of the mind. And you just get hooked into this alarm anxiety cycle. And the story that your mind tells you is not true, but because your brain is impaired by the fear, you believe it, which of course makes you spiral out of control. So this can kind of spiral you in the moment by changing the internal narrative and seeing anxiety as more of a subjective story than objective reality. And it's really important to understand that so much of anxiety depends on you believing the story. So what this misses is it sort of oversimplifies complex experiences. And sometimes it's not just anxiety. Sometimes it's a full-blown phobia or panic attack. And trying to minimize a big emotional reaction by saying it's just anxiety can lead to a real mind-body mismatch that makes anxiety worse and also leaves people sitting ducks for something called derealization and depersonalization, where you don't feel that you're connected to yourself. And that derealization and depersonalization can make people very, very uncomfortable and expand anxiety considerably. Also, it can make people feel dismissed or ashamed and resist the help that they really do need to get. And like all these trends, it doesn't address the root cause. Yes, the house isn't on fire, but you still need to find out why your smoke alarm keeps going off. Again, it's a short-term solution for what is ultimately a long-term problem. Trend number four, DIY anxiety cures. You know, orange, lemons, ice baths, and so on. So it's videos, usually, promoting sensory-based cures for anxiety, like biting into lemons, showering with oranges, plunging in ice baths, or eating sour candy when panicking. And it's usually shared as quick, quirky solutions for regulating anxiety quickly. Now, what this gets right is sensory input can genuinely interrupt spiraling because it brings you out of future-based worries. And it's important to know that anxiety is always about the future. So when you pull yourself into the present moment, you gain a foothold over anxiety. And the other thing is your body is kind of stuck in the trauma and the fear of the past. So when you get into these heavy sensation-based experiences, you bring yourself into the present moment because we can only sense in the present moment. So these things get that right on some level. And cold exposure and sour stimuli, it does engage the nervous system and can deter the energy that was fueling your thoughts. So if your thoughts are going a mile a minute and scaring the crap out of you, if you bite into a lemon, yeah, chances are that's going to be a pattern interrupt. And it will also bring in a present moment sensation. So it can provide a quick reset into the body, but what it misses is, again, it's a short-term reset. It doesn't help you long-term. If there's a reason why you have anxiety, this consistently, you have to deal with the reason why. You can't just expect little snippets, little hacks to heal your anxiety. It'll help you cope with it for sure, but clearly there's a reason for it. So healing strategies are important to really explore and get into because, again, there's a reason why you're alarmed and anxious in the first place. So if you keep following your body and expecting it to heal you, you're not really doing anything except putting a Band-Aid on something. And really, you're just kicking the anxiety can down the road and it often gets worse. So you're not really dealing with the underlying issue. And I have no problem with quick fixes. But if you're using quick fixes all the time, there's something deeper there. So my issue is that these little hacks are often framed as anxiety cures, but they can really distract you from the deeper emotional work. So they're not really cures, they're Band-Aids. And these hacks can help, but if you rely on these hacks and these quick tricks, you may never actually get to the place where you can find a place of healing because you're always going to be able to lean on these little hacks. And to some extent, sure, they do help, but you're not really putting yourself in a position to live a healthy life if you're always having to introduce these little anxiety hacks all the time. So, you know, ice can reset your body, but it's not going to help you connect with that younger version of you that still feels unsafe. It's not going to do anything for the root cause of why you're anxious in the first place. Trend number five, the therapeutic life hack content. Now, this includes things like cortisol cocktails, ASMR, and lists of brain rot activities like cozy video games and comforting YouTube loops. They're often marketed as neural hacks or quick fixes to reduce anxiety and stress. And what they do get right is it encourages people to soothe and care for themselves. It makes mental health more accessible. It introduces the nervous system to new sensory inputs. But what it misses is many of these hacks are placebos at best. These cortisol cocktails, for example, they have no proven effect on serum cortisol levels And cortisol isn't always bad. Cortisol actually has an adaptive stress function. It's just when it becomes chronic. It's just when cortisol levels become chronic and high, that's when they cause a lot of the problem. So in a way, these things perpetuate the illusion that comfort is equal to healing, and it's not. There's nothing wrong with seeking comfort, but once you're more comfortable, that's the time to work on the underlying trigger. And again, you're just kicking the anxiety can down the road and you're going to run into it again. Now, don't get me wrong. Self-soothing is important, but it can be just a Band-Aid. It's not the same as self-repair. Trend number 6, broader misinformation and misuse of therapy terms. Creators throw around terms like bipolar, trauma, dissociation, narcissist so casually. My ex didn't text me back and now I have trauma. Or quizzes like, is your partner a narcissist? Others promote unverified supplements, claims that trauma can be healed in an hour, or that one juice can fix your nervous system, or one supplement can fix your nervous system. So what it gets right, it brings therapy language into mainstream conversations, and it shows that people are eager to understand themselves. It also encourages self-awareness and research. But again, what it misses is it blurs the line between what's just the emotional discomfort of real life, which is much of life is uncomfortable, and true clinical issues. My partner's a narcissist. No, they're not a narcissist necessarily. They just don't want to do the same things that you want to do. You know, remember that misinformation spreads much faster than real science. And that's another podcast. That's another part of human nature that is really unfortunate, that we tend to believe these crazy things as opposed to believing what is looked at as probably boring science. And a limited understanding and a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, especially when it comes to human emotion and behavior. Throwing terms around incorrectly can cause more harm than good. And it also, like I said, misinformation spreads like wildfire. And these things, these trends get going and they cause much, much more harm than good. So what do we do about all this TikTok stuff? I want to give you a framework. I want to show you how to think critically about a lot of these little snippets that you get. First of all, is validate it. Ask yourself, does this trend speak to something real that I'm feeling? And then evaluate it. Ask, is this advice actually rooted in science and lived experience, or is it just viral crap? Integrate it. Ask, how can I use this with deeper tools? That's really critical. If these little hacks help you, by all means, use them, but they're not the end of the road. They give you the opportunity to open the door to something deeper and actually fix the root cause of it rather than constantly dealing with adopting these little Band-Aid solutions. So, once I feel better in the short term, myself, I often resist going deeper. But that's exactly what we have to do. We have to go in deeper and find it, which is not to say that every day you've got to go in and disembowel your anxiety and dissect it out and look into it. But you do have to do it sometimes. And if you have a trained professional or you have a way of understanding your own anxiety and understanding your own patterns and programming, so that you can see that you're doing this to yourself over and over and over again, you'll be much farther ahead in the long run than just taking these little anxiety hacks. So as a doctor and anxiety specialist for decades, I know that one thing is constant, which is when people feel better, they don't want to have to deal with their anxiety. And I understand that. But I also know that you're just kicking the can down the road. It's not, your anxiety isn't going to go away just because you learn little strategies that make you feel better. So what I tell people to do is find the anxiety in your body. Make the intention to find the anxiety. Get out of your head, get out of your mind, and make the intention to find the anxiety, which I call alarm, in your body. Because you heal your anxiety through your body. You don't heal it through your mind. Which is why most anxiety therapies fail. They try and fix your mind, and your mind isn't the problem. The mind is just the reflection of this alarm that's going off in your body. When you can address the alarm in your body, you can truly start getting to the root cause of what's causing your discomfort in the first place. Now, I talk about this in great detail in my MBRX program, but it's really learning how to sit with your anxiety like you'd sit with a scared child. Because that scared child that still lives in you is the part that's creating the alarm in the first place. And it's the alarm in your body from that younger version of you that didn't get their needs met that is reflecting through your mind. Your mind is a meaning-making, make-sense machine. So if it feels the alarm from the child in you, it will start making up warnings, what-ifs, worst-case scenarios to try and make you feel better. So let me wrap up. Let me give you a little TikTok toolkit. First of all, you want to normalize the emotion. Anxiety is a normal emotion. We are not going to get rid of anxiety. It's with us for life. Chronic anxiety, however, is a different story. And chronic anxiety, we can actually bring down to regular anxiety. So on TikTok, question the trend. Is this something that's going to help me in the long term, or is it just a Band-Aid? And again, there's nothing wrong with Band-Aids. If you find Band-Aids that really help you, great. But know that until you go deeper, you're not really going to excavate the underlying cause and you're going to continue having anxiety. You're just kicking the anxiety can down the road. So ask yourself, is this helping me heal or just cope? And there's nothing wrong with learning how to cope, but you really need to go into the deeper layers of this if you're not wanting to deal with this for the rest of your life. And sometimes these little quick fixes can make it harder to unearth the underlying cause of your anxiety in the first place. So it's important to, yes, use TikTok, use Instagram, whatever it is you need to sort of get through the acute event. But also, the reason why you're anxious in the first place is because there's something in there. There's something underneath that's creating this. And you really have to go deeper to find that. And it's really important to find that younger version of you. See them, hear them, open to them, understand them, love them, defend them. That's how you're going to heal. Little TikTok things can help, but you really heal when you see, hear, open to, understood, understand, love, and defend the young version of you that's still in there and they're still hurting. And I'll see you next time.